Left side, base hit. Here comes Gurriel. He'll score. Going to third with nobody there is Siri. He pops up, comes to the plate. Two-run score. 4-1.
And the Astros even the World Series at a game apiece in the best of seven as they win last night in Game 2 of the World Series. As the final was 7-2, and another former Royal, you just heard, Martin Maldonado, who was with the Royals for about half a season. His hit scored 2 in the bottom of the second. Astros led 4-1, never looked back, win 7-2. Game 3 tomorrow night in Atlanta at 7:09. As the series is all tied up at a game apiece, Dusty Baker, manager of the Astros, on the four-run second inning.
It happened fast, and it gets to be like a feeding frenzy, you know, and everybody, you know, wants to get in on it. And I was just hoping that we could score some more because, you know, they were going to, you know, threaten, you know, before too long. And, you know, you never really feel comfortable during these playoffs in the World Series. So, you know, you're always wanting more.
All right. So it's a best 3 out of 5 now. Astros and the Braves series shifts to Atlanta. It's interesting when every year when you get to the World Series or the playoffs, you have memories pop on Facebook. At least I do from when the Royals, when I had some pictures and when I attended games. And Facebook memories spotted today, 7 years ago today, game one of the World Series in 2014. And I paid some good money to sit and watch the Royals get smoked in game one by the Giants as James Shields did not pitch well. That was game one. Of course, Royals came all the way back and came down to a game seven, as we all know. And the Royals lost that to the Giants. And then yesterday, from 6 years ago, yesterday in 2015, it was game one of the World Series between the Mets and the Royals. And I had a chance to go to that one, had a great time. And Alex Gordon's home run in the ninth to tie it made every penny that I paid for that ticket worth it. Royals, of course, won in extra innings in game one, go on to win the series in five. And yesterday, 36 years ago, which I do remember, game seven of the 1985 World Series, the Royals won it all. Back on this date yesterday, 36 years ago, 1985, Brett Saberhagen with the complete game shutout. Royals blew out the Cardinals in game seven, 11-0. Daryl Motley with the final catch. So good memories. I would like to see these a little bit more often popping up on my Facebook feed, but
yeah,
they're still not bad. Better than some teams that never win a championship.
Yeah.
You know, the Royals have been to more World Series the last, the last 11, 12 years than the Yankees have. Like, they've won more World Series and been to more World Series because the Yankees haven't been in any in the last 10, 11, 12 years, something like that.
Yeah.
From what I read the other day. So, you know, it is what you did. Well, we got 27 World Series championships. Yeah. Nobody's going to argue that, but I don't care what happened in 1933. You know, all I care about is what's happening now, and honestly, neither team's in the World Series. So I guess that's the point.
What have you done for me lately?
That's exactly right. All right, so we got some Athletes of the Week.
Yes, Athletes of the Week this week from NCCastSports.com, Cunningham Telephone and Cable. Excuse me, Jane Letourneau, Gentry Alderson, and Dylan Sprecher. They were the regional champions in cross country this past weekend and headed to state this weekend. Jane Letourneau of St. John's High School won the 1A regional championship at Centralia and ran away with that one in Class 1A. And then in Class 3A at Southeast Saline, Gentry Alderson won by over a minute and a half in the 3A regional championship for the girls' side of things at Southeast Saline. The Southeast senior and Southeast senior Dylan Sprecher won the boys' race by just under 30 seconds, I should say, in the Class 3A regional championship at Southeast Saline. So those three, again, Jane Letourneau, Gentry Alderson, and Dylan Sprecher, all regional cross-country champions and headed to state this weekend to represent and hope to finish toward the top in the state meets this weekend as well. So, again, congratulations to them. Our NCCastSports.com, Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week for this week.
Awesome. Congratulations. And there will be a send-off today at 6 o'clock for Lance Lundeen, the one Beloit Trojan that will be – yes?
I'm just going to add something when you're done with that.
I bet you I'm ahead of you, but okay. There's a send-off tonight, 6 o'clock, for Lance Lundeen and the Beloit Trojan volleyball team. It'll be in the commons area at the high school. Enter through the south doors and Lakeside Volleyball.
I got it right here, my friend.
I'll make sure send-off at 12:30 today in front of Lakeside Junior Senior High School Gymnasium. Lakeside Volleyball team having their send-off at 12:30 today. So send them off in style. They deserve all of the credit for making it to state, and let's cheer them on and support all of those youngsters, and best of luck to them at state competition, whether it be volleyball or cross country. I cover. I don't
know
what
if I'd catch you coming or going, so I had it on my side too.
I saw your sheet
too,
over
so.
Here, and I saw your chicken scratches, and believe it or not, I could read it.
The Lakeside Volleyball one's a little difficult to read.
Yes,
I will say that.
Thank
I just
you.
Scribbled it on here because
yes.
I knew what it said.
Listen, I write stuff, and I can't read what I write, so I shouldn't criticize anybody else's handwriting, to be honest with you. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into it. High school football playoffs tonight. Of course, Beloit will be taking on Lakin tomorrow night. And tomorrow we will have no sports ticket show. We'll have there'll be news, but there will be local news, but there'll be no Waterside Wake Up show tomorrow. There is no sports ticket because Dusty and I are gone, and we're glad to be. And most people are like, thank God, Gershner and Dinus are leaving. No, well, we are leaving.
The fresh air. Don't have to listen to those guys.
That's right.
Wrong.
Yeah,
you got to listen to us more tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to listen to us more tomorrow, but it's going to be not going to be anything about opinion for an hour on Sports Talk. It's going to be play by play, and we're excited about it with all the volleyball. Dusty will be in Dodge, and I'll be in Hutchinson. But before we get to volleyball, let's go ahead and preview high school football for tonight. Our game of the evening on Z96.3 The Lake, a rematch of a game played in the first round playoffs a year ago. Lakeside goes to Frankfort again, and certainly Lakeside, I think, has a much better chance of pulling off the upset this year than they did last year. And Drew Dusky, head coach of Lakeside, his team, worried about the Frankfort ground game. Lakeside at Frankfort tonight, pregame at 5:30 on Z96.3 The Lake.
They're going to be a hard-running football team. They got big guys. They're strong, and they're physical, and we're going to have to try to match that. You know, our defense is really going to have to step up. Guys are going to have to key in on their assignments. We're not going to be able to make mistakes. We're going to have to get off blocks, and we're going to have to wrap up a tackle. And if we don't get them down with the first tackle, we've got to hold on, and we've got to be, you know, we've got to have three or four or five more guys that are ready to hit them and bring them down.
Frankfort head coach Nick Anderson concerned about the balance Lakeside presents on offense.
They're very balanced as well as far as run pass, and you know, they can go double tight and run the ball and obviously spread you out. And, you know, the Cunningham kid running it probably scares us as much as anything. He's, you know, very talented. He's got good speed and elusiveness. And then he has the ability to put the ball up in the air. And then when you have a receiver the caliber that he's throwing to, you know, you just got to get it in the general vicinity and he's going to make a play for you.
Should be a very interesting game tonight in Frankfort. Lakeside Frankfort pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 6. John Bowden with the call for us to help us out since we're a little bit shorthanded being all over the place with football and volleyball over the next couple of days. So John's looking forward to calling his first ever playoff game on the radio, and he'll do a fine job. And Frankfort Lakeside, how do you sum this one up, Dusty?
Hey, this is a matchup that Lakeside and Coach Dusky and I kind of agree, kind of feel like they might have one of the better as far as matchups are concerned for going on the road here in the first round. And you know, it kind of worked out where they don't have to go to Hanover, a team that might be getting, you know, healthy. We're not sure about that yet. But they, I know Coach Dusky likes the fact that he knows about Frankfort. He saw them last year, and his team is, you know, a year older and a year more experienced. And that's something, obviously, that you heard from Coach Anderson at Frankfort that kind of concerns him as well, is, you know, he lost some key players from last year. They're not quite as strong as they were a year ago. So, you know, if Lakeside plays the top of their game, I think they have an opportunity here to be in it, possibly win it when it comes down to it. You know, last year they lost 60-14 in this game, and so they're feeling pretty good going in. They're going to have to execute the way they need to and kind of like they have in the last couple of weeks and really offensively be able to mix that ground and pass game kind of like they have since the Pike Valley game. They've been running real, real well out of that speed option and not just throwing the ball around the field. So I like the matchup for Lakeside if they can come out and play. Again, they'll have to play the top of their game tonight, but they have a chance against Frankfort this evening.
And the winner of this game will more than likely be at Kensington to take on Thunder Ridge next week. As Thunder Ridge, a favorite at home in Kensington tonight at 5 o'clock. The Longhorns on the field 8-0 taking on Onega, who is 4-4. Frankfort and Lakeside both coming in records of 6-2. So once again, Lakeside at Frankfort tonight, pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 6 on Z96.3 Lake, KDCountry94.com. Get that free app on your smartphones, people, both of them. The free, let me say it again, free Z96.3 The Lake app and KDCountry94 app on your smartphones. Makes it a lot easier to pull it up and listen if you're outside the radio listening area. And then Of course, the other game we have on the radio tonight is Osborne hosting Hanover, a rematch of a game played earlier in the year when Osborne won by 10, 36-26. And I think the big story here, without question, is who's going to be able to play for Osborne.
And
Hanover. Yes, both teams have some injuries to deal with, and some of these might be game-time decisions. And this is a rematch of a matchup we had in first round last year as well. And Osborne was a heavy underdog and got blown out. This one is a lot more competitive on the field, and plus Osborne, first time ever beat Hanover in high school football recently during the regular season, but this one is much more important. It's in Osborne again. Steve Tiernan, head coach of the Bulldogs, very familiar with Hanover, and quite frankly, it's just trying to figure out what they're going to do, not knowing exactly what personnel they may have with all the injuries.
You got to control what you can control, and not, I'm not going to sit here and cry about it, but that's kind of like us. We have guys that are on the mend. You know, they're right on that fence. Can they play? Can they not play? So when you're coming up with a game plan for this week, it's almost two different game plans, even for our own team, as to if we have this guy, we'll run this stuff, or if we don't have this guy, we'll run that stuff. So it's been a pretty stressful week, I'll say.
It sounds like it. Hanover's not exactly sure what personnel they can have to prepare for when they go in this game tonight, with pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 6. Dusty with the call from Osborne. Hanover at Osborne on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Matt Hoyer talks about the challenges.
It is a little bit different. It's a little more, you know, of a headache, just for the simple fact that you don't know exactly who to prepare for, but you can kind of prepare for, you know, different scenarios. And it's one of those things where they're going to be well coached no matter who's on the field, and it's going to be one of those situations where, you know, Steve does a really good job of getting his kids prepared. So we just got to make sure that our kids are disciplined and that our kids execute on our end of the field, and I just feel like our kids have to realize that, you know, regardless of who steps on the field for them, we have to do a good job on our end taking care of our business.
All right, I know a lot of people will point to the game earlier in the year where Osborne won, not want to take anything away from Osborne, but that game means nothing now. It means absolutely nothing, and the faces and characters tonight might be a little bit different than back then. So how do you size this one up?
Yeah, well, it's as hard for me as it is for the coaches that we're just talking, right? But the coaches didn't tell, they wouldn't tell me any secrets, you know, about who might be playing and might not. You know, they gave me an idea of where they could be, and there's possibilities. I have a feeling that, just a gut feeling, that a lot of the guys are going to be back tonight. Most of the people that they need are going to be in. Now, if this was a game where you were a heavy favorite, maybe not. Mm-hmm. If you were the district champion and playing the fourth team that you felt like you could beat, then that might not be the case, but... there's one for Hanover that I might be questioning a little bit, and that's Stahlbaum, or the original quarterback. I'm not 100% sure on that, but
You mean you don't think he's going to play?
I'm not sure. I think most of the other ones are going to be back, mm-hmm. though. Like Mason, I think, will play tonight. Mason Scherer for Osborne. Mm-hmm. Again, that's kind of a game time thing. That's just a gut feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody, I've not been told one way or the other about how that's going to come out. So we could see the as close to the full arsenal from both of these teams as possible. And if that's the case, I don't know if they're all 100% either when they go out.
How
long they can stay out. So it's a tough one to handicap for sure. And obviously it was a good game the first time the two teams met. And that's when Hanover started having their injury issues, when Stahlbaumer actually got hurt for them. So at quarterback. So, you know, I can't gauge anything from that first game, to be completely honest with you, to take into tonight, other than it was the same two coaches and teams that went against each other. But personnel might be a little bit different both times.
Hanover comes in record 5-3, but they've been hurt by injuries quite a bit, as you said. Osborne 6-2. Hanover at Osborne tonight, pregame at 5:30 and kickoff at 6 o'clock. Dusty with a call from Osborne. A winner of this game will take on either Axtell or St. John's Tipton. The Blue Jays, a heavy underdog tonight on the road at number 1 Axtell, who's undefeated. St. John's Tipton going in with a record of 4-4. That's a 6 o'clock kick tonight from Axtell. And that's in 8-man Division 2. We have all the brackets posted at ncksports.com when it comes to the playoffs. 8-man Division 1 tomorrow night. Clifton, Clyde, and Solomon will play at 7 o'clock. Clifton, Clyde, a number 1 seed out of their district at 6-1. Solomon, 5-3. Class 1A playoffs. Smith Center gets a bye or a forfeit win. They don't have to play, which they're independent. They don't have enough kids to play. So Smith Center automatically moves on to the regional round next Friday, where they'll take on either Whitewater, Remington, or Ellenwood, and Smith Center would be hosting that game next Friday in the regional round. Plainville will be in action against Sublette tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Plainville. Plainville will be a heavy favorite in that one. Class 2A, tomorrow night, Norton is at Cimarron. I bring that up because the winner of that game will play the winner of Beloit-Lakin If Norton wins, Norton will go to Beloit next week. If Cimarron wins, Beloit makes a long trip out to Cimarron. I hear they have new field turf field out there they put in this summer. That'd be interesting, mm-hmm. although I'd prefer not to go all the way out there. Beloit hosting Lakin tomorrow night. Both teams are 5-3. Lakin doesn't have a lot of size. They don't. Beloit's probably got the speed advantage. Beloit's a heavy favorite in this game coming up tomorrow night. Pregame at 6:30 on Z96.3 Lakin. Kickoff at 7. Also online, KDCountry94.com. Live video stream at NCKSports.com. Be the Beloit Trojan channel. And once again, Beloit hosting Lakin tomorrow night. And other noteworthy games, Ellis is at Hoisington tomorrow night, and Minneapolis is at Hayes to take on TMP. Class 3A, Concordia will be in action tomorrow night at Colby. Concordia with the better record, but they're third out of their district. And I would say Concordia's got a shot in that one, no doubt. And that's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night in Colby. And Southeast Saline from the North Central Activity Association, they're undefeated 8-0. They are hosting Marysville and Gypsum tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
I do want to add that Sylvan Lucas's game is tomorrow night in 8-man Division 2 as well against Norwich. They're hosting Norwich tomorrow night in the first round. That's on the west side of the bracket.
And
it's confusing because it's the only team we have on the west side of the bracket.
That
so,
is right.
Yeah,
so there
but
we go.
I did want to add that it is. It might say on the bracket that it's Thursday, but it has been moved to tomorrow night. And I think it's probably because Norwich has been in quarantine the last couple games, and it's probably a move that they made to push that back.
I'm glad you told me that because I'll be doing the abbreviated scoreboard show from my probably a hotel room tonight at 10:05. And so I would be wondering why we don't have that score. So that helps. Information, knowledge is power. So why don't you go through the broadcast schedule today? It is a little bit different.
Yes, it's way different than what we normally have on a Thursday anyway.
Right.
So we'll start at 4:30 with the locker room chats as we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. And then coming up after that, we'll have the Football Express presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable and our final Express of the season as we'll preview all the playoff matchups for area teams. And again, that'll be about 5 o'clock here this evening and 5:30 pregame and kickoff at 6. Again, as Wade said on KD Country 94, it's Hanover at Osborne, first round of the playoffs, 8-man Division 2, and on Z96.3 through the Lakeside at Frankfort. And as he just said, we will have an abbreviated scoreboard show tonight at the regular time presented by State Farm Insurance Bullet in Osborne at 10:05. So that's just KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com. We're looking forward to the playoffs here this evening.
All right, so that covers football and our schedule for today. But we're just getting started, folks. tomorrow is going to be a full day of live play-by-play volleyball coverage. Yes, sir. We're going to call every spike, bump, dig, pass, pancake, whatever else you want to throw out there. We're going to have all the coverage for you of not one, not two, but three volleyball teams at state. Our coverage will begin tomorrow morning at 8:15 with our pre-match show. At 8:15, Dusty with the call from Dodge City. 8:30 will be the first serve at the 1A Division I State Volleyball Tournament Dodge City Pool Play. Lakeside, first ever trip to state. They'll take on Victoria at 8:30. And then Lakeside, the 4-seed, will take on 8-seed Rollins County at about 10:30. And then the last match, I will bet, won't start at 1:30, but it might. Lakeside, the 4-seed against number 1-seed Pretty Prairie. Once again, all the Lakeside volleyball matches tomorrow on Z96.3 Lake, KDCountry94.com. Get that free Z96.3 Lake app on your phones, Lakeside fans. And also on Saturday, we'll have Lakeside volleyball if they move on to the semis at 9 o'clock and then a championship or third-place matches at 10:30 on Saturday. Michelle Brummett, head coach of Lakeside. The Knights are excited. And at the same time, she says that we're just going to approach this state competition as best as we can as we go in and treat it really not any differently.
We're going to prepare for them. We're going to prepare to make adjustments as we go. But for the most part, I've always told the girls it's the game of volleyball versus the game of volleyball. And it's hard to go make last-minute changes this week and expect them to play a completely different way than they've trained all season. So we're gonna key in on a couple of each team's players or tendencies, but for the most part, we're gonna stick to our game. We're gonna stick to the disciplines and the reps that we've done all year over and over and over. And hopefully, like I said, that solid fundamental volleyball will pull us through.
All right, just a quick synopsis because we got to get going here with everything else.
I mean, it's just like Coach Brummett said there, you know, the Lady Knights just got to come out and play their game. And you know, you don't know a lot about these teams, but you do know that they're going to be very quality teams that they're going to face at state, obviously, for all the teams that are there. So I think Victoria is really one to watch in that pool, but the Lady Knights have been playing really, really well lately, 14-match winning streak going into state. So Northern Plains League Tournament Championship, they're feeling pretty good about themselves, and if they can play the top of their game, I feel like they have a pretty good chance to get out of the pool and make it to the semis on Saturday.
All right, Lakeside on Z96.3, the Lake tomorrow on KD Country 94 tomorrow morning at 9:30. Beloit, the number 8 seed at state for the 5th time in 7th year in Hutchinson and pool play. They're the 8 seed at 32-7. Amazing stuff. They'll take on number 1 seed Eureka, 35-1. I'll just say Eureka, looking at their schedule, I don't really know exactly who they've played. It's not exactly the toughest schedule on paper. But once you get to state, you don't know with nerves and pressure and how things are going to be handled. And then Beloit will play Riverton, a 4 seed. They're not used to being at state very often, although they made it last year to the state quarterfinals. Riverton, first league title in 30 years. They're 38-3, the 4 seed. And then at 12:30, might be the toughest match of the day for Beloit. Smoky Valley, state runner-up a year ago, number 5 seed against Beloit, the 8 seed. Pretty crazy stuff when you think about all the power that's in the state volleyball tournament. Every one of these teams has been the state either last year or the year before, and Heritage Christian is a defending state champs in 2A, and they're the other in 3A. Eureka is the only newbie of all the teams over the course of the last couple of years. They're making their first appearance since 2010, so Eureka might be a little bit nervous, not used to this, whereas Beloit has some girls that played on that team that got second at state 2 years ago, and Brandy Paul says that experience could be very helpful.
We needed to get there. You know, Mackenzie and Trinity have been suited up on a team that's been there. Of course, Haley and Kim all were part of that and went. And so they've been in that environment. But I thought that was why it's so important to get into that environment, win or lose or whatever, so the kids get the feel for it. Because I felt like, you know, after the first time we made it, and especially like the year we got third and then we went back the next year and got second. Yeah. We were more comfortable with it. You just get used to it. But honestly, I don't know with this group, even with the young ones, I don't think anything intimidates them. I think they just play lights out. So I'm just ready to go and see what they can do there. But it's so nice for them to get there and the whole team to get there to see the filling, because it's a neat filling.
Once again, Beloit, no live video streaming, not allowed to do that there. You can pay to watch, which we never have to charge people to pay for our live video streaming because of our sponsors, but Keisha has an agreement for an exclusive partner to do all the video streaming, which I understand there'll be no announcing for the video stream that they're doing. I'll reserve my comments, but so everybody gets boxed out of video streaming. We would have provided play-by-play with the video streaming, but we can't. So we're allowed to do the radio broadcast, so we at least have that, which is great. And it'll be Beloit Eureka at 9:30, Beloit Riverton 10:30, and Beloit Smoky Valley around 12:30. But I would imagine we might be an hour or so late when we get to that match, because I think there's going to be some tremendous matches tomorrow at 3A State. Once again, Beloit volleyball matches on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Get the free KD Country 94 app installed on your smartphones. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a heck of a tournament. This is what a state tournament's supposed to be. Loaded. It's what it's supposed to be. The best teams. 7 of the top 10 teams that were ranked at the end of the year are in this. The only unranked team is Beloit. And have you seen who they've lost to? 6 state qualifiers. 5 of their 7 losses, number 1 teams in the state. And they've beaten a couple of those teams. So it should be a lot of fun. Class 2A State Volleyball Tournament in Dodge City tomorrow on KD Country 94. So we get done with Beloit, then we'll shift over to Dodge City. I'll throw it back to Dusty. Long baton throw from Hutch all the way to Dodge. On KD Country 94, Smith Center Lady Red, the favorite to win their first ever state title in volleyball. Nick Lynn, over 900 career victories. Man, it's all lined up for Smith Center, but it's one thing to be lined up and have it on paper, but you have to go grab it and get it. Smith Center, state runner-up a year ago to Olathe Heritage Christian. They bumped up to 3A, as we mentioned. Smith Center will play at 4:30 tomorrow, number 1 seed against Pittsburgh Colgan, the 8 seed. 6:30, Smith Center will take on Wabunzee, the 5 seed, in the last match, 8:30 or maybe later. They'll take on the 4 seed Hillsborough. And Hillsborough, I would say, is probably the toughest of those 3 matches from what I know in the history of Hillsborough, because Hillsborough's played some really good competition this year. Smith Center volleyball matches tomorrow, 4:30, 6:30, 8:30 approximately, all on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Smith Center fans, get that free KD Country 94 app on your smartphones. Nick Lynn, you know, they don't really treat state any differently, man. They're just all about getting prepared and ready to go, because they know you got to step it up at state.
We don't treat it any different. You know, we prepare for state. We prepare for state level competition way back early in the season about what we need to do, because we've been through the things we do wrong. And one of the things that we do wrong or haven't been really good at is serve, receive, or serve aggressive, you know, and at the state level, you don't serve aggressive. You are on the defensive from the first serve until the end of the tournament, you know. And so we worked every day on serving more aggressive, and we worked every day on serve receive, because that's how we lost to Olathe Heritage. And so those things, we know as a team what we have to do from those standpoints, and we've worked on them.
All right, so your thoughts, Dusty.
Yeah, Lady Red, obviously, what he just said, I mean, they've kind of fixed maybe some of the issues they felt they had last year at state, and this is a team that's been ranked number one ever since Heritage Christian moved up to 3A, so number one this season, number one seed at 38-2. You talked about how loaded your state tournament is in 3A. This pool for Smith Center also features teams. Every team made it to state last year in Hillsborough, Waubonsie, and Colgan. Some of them didn't make it out to the semifinals, but they at least made it to the quarterfinals. And Waubonsie, a couple of years ago, won a state championship. You're looking at Hillsborough, who always has great tradition. Colgan's record is only 26-14, but they've won 13 matches in a row coming into state. So they were 13-14 at one point. So this is a pool that's going to be tough for Smith Center. It's a lot of teams that have great tradition and success, but Smith Center's the most loaded out of that pool coming back with everything that they had back from last year coming into this year. Some of those teams did lose some players and might be a little bit surprised of how well they've played this year, but it's going to be a tough pool, but Smith Center is clearly the favorite. If they can play as well as they did on Saturday at Substate, they're tough to beat. I mean, they're not afraid to swing. They're not afraid to really go out there and like Coach Lynn said, be aggressive offensively, and that's something that, you know, again, when you get to state, you can't have any reservations. You got to go out and play your game, and if Smith Center plays that way like they have pretty much all season, they're in the driver's seat here and have a great shot at winning the state championship on Saturday.
They absolutely do. So all the coverage, Smith Center on Kitty Country 94 and kittycountry94.com tomorrow in the afternoon and evening, and then hopefully on Saturday in the afternoon as well. Semis will be at 1 o'clock and championship at 2:30, third place at 2:30. Beloit on Kitty Country 94 and kittycountry94.com in the morning and then early afternoon tomorrow, and then hopefully Saturday at 9 and 10:30. And then Lakeside, the same situation in regards to all the times, except that they'll be on Z96.3 the lake. All right, should be a lot of fun. Real quickly, J.J. Watt's hurt again. Arizona Cardinals may be without star pass rusher J.J. Watt for the remainder of the season. He'll undergo shoulder surgery, according to reports. It's likely to be season-ending. He hurt his shoulder in the first half against his former team, Houston Texans, last Sunday. Speaking of the Cardinals, what a matchup. Thursday Night Football's finally got a great matchup. Packers 6-1 at the Cardinals 7-0. That'll be on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon. Could the Cardinals, could the Dolphins be, well, if they're even physically able to pop the cork on the champagne bottle, the ones that are still alive, to celebrate if the Cardinals lose tonight. Cardinals only team still left undefeated in the NFL. And NBA, I want to throw this in there because this is very interesting. Last night, the Lakers were playing the Thunder in OKC. Russell Westbrook, former superstar with the Thunder. Everybody loved him or loves him in OKC. I know I've been there multiple times. People just absolutely love Westbrook, maybe more so than Durant. Last night, the Lakers go to OKC. The Lakers had a 26-point lead and lost. The Thunder are one of the worst teams in the league. They're the youngest team in the league. Lakers are up 26. The Lakers were 230-0 when they led by 24-5 or more. Had won their previous 230 games. Now make it 230-1. The Lakers blowing a 26-point lead at OKC last night. And at the end, the Lakers are up 5. They inbounded with about 5 seconds to go. It was stolen by a young kid, Baisley, for OKC, who's got a lot of talent. He went down the court uncontested, slammed it, little flair to it. Westbrook didn't like it. There was 1.5 seconds left. He got in Baisley's face, told him he didn't like it, and Westbrook got ejected and then booed by some on the floor. He played many, many games in the team he used to play for. Crazy stuff. LeBron was out with an ankle injury. Shouldn't have mattered. As the Lakers, with maybe one of the worst regular season losses of all time to the lowly Thunder, and it was Westbrook's return to OKC. They do play each other again next week in L.A. I'm guessing that game might be a little bit different, especially if LeBron plays.